aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc. This is off for another day of broadcast insolence.
I don't mean to start a four-alarm fire right at the top, but did you see that there's going to be a special prosecutor investigating how Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox handled the Jesse Smollett case?
Really?
Citing unprecedented irregularities.
Irregularities, Your Honor.
Respected judge.
Special prosecutor. Did they name the special prosecutor yet?
I don't think they did.
No, is it Michael Monaco?
Mike Monaco.
Because that would be that would really be something. You know who it should be? I'll tell you who it should be. Rokan. That's who it should be. That's what I want. I want to be the person who is there going, what did you do? But that would be me.
That's how you'd handle it. Well, yeah. I think yours would be a short investigation.
Yeah, it would
be. You've sort of made up your mind already. Yeah,
guilty as charged. It's going to be like the new immigration court. Get out.
Right. For her part, Kim Fox has said this is not something she respectfully disagrees with this decision. But,
oh, she does.
But
oh,
hang
good.
On. It's yes. going forward.
Yeah, she does not have a choice in that. That's why they call the special prosecutor, because you screwed this thing up in such a magnificent way. Oh, don't even get me started.
I think we just did.
All right. Now, I have to say that, and I know this is not technically funny, but I found something very funny in the precipice of World War III, because if I have learned anything, is that even when all hell is breaking loose and the world seems like it is coming to an end, if you can't crack a joke, you know what really is left? Let's just say it that way. So, the president today said that he called off the strike on Iran
right.
with 10 minutes to spare. He said, "But we were cocked and loaded." Now, that is not the term. The term is locked and loaded.
That's right. So it's
locked.
Typically
L
said.
Right. Instead, somehow it came out as cocked and loaded. I of course it did. Of course it did. Oh, man.
Yeah. Not proportionate to shooting down an unmanned drone. He said he considered how many lives might be lost and thought it was not.
Okay. I stand by him on that. I think he did the right thing. I think and I think the way he did it was, you know, it's a sort of Trumpian drama, it's fine. I mean, he did. I think lobbing a bunch of missiles into Iran ups the ante considerably. Now, if all of a sudden their banking system failed for a couple of hours, well, then that would be, you know, that seems like a commensurate sort of thing. I can imagine that. I can see that happening.
This just seemed like he was telegraphing to them, right? Obviously, that, look, I could have done it, and I didn't, so there's still time.
You cannot believe how cocked and loaded I was.
He said cocked and loaded?
Cocked and loaded. Not locked and loaded.
Cocked and loaded.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you could be loaded and cocked, I guess.
You can be.
But you can, and you could be locked and loaded.
You could be cocky and loaded.
Yes. As a matter of fact, those go perfectly together. Often when I'm loaded, I'm cocky. So that is true. Yes. Absolutely correct.
You can get loaded, then get cocky.
Yes.
All that can happen too.
That has happened. But I've just never seen it like this. So.
No one has.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun over at John Bolton. Actually, I imagine Don Jr., who's a big marksman, you know, shooter, flautist, whatever he is. He likes to... you know, he's always talking about, he always speaks to the NRA about his undying love for his AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably wanted to call, Dad, you know, it's locked and loaded. I always hated you. You're a punk. I love your sister.
I'm guessing he doesn't correct him on that one.
Yeah.
But the internet took care of that for him. So if he's logging in today, he'll be able to see that might not have been the correct usage of that.
No, it's exactly what I'm just. If I can't have a little bit of fun and the precipice of World War III, who can? Oh, my God.
There's a military saying on that one.
Yes. Yeah. Which, what do you mean? Are you asking the question?
Yeah, I'm thinking they hear that, right? Members of the military, and they wonder.
Cocked and loaded. Yeah. That's generally, I think for our Marine in the control room, he knows that might be a term as they're getting a port call somewhere in Southeast Asia. I think that's what they're saying, right?
Oh, You know? Oh, gee.
They're pulling it into Phuket, and the next thing you know, it's like, hey, we're cocked and loaded. Here we go.
That's not what he meant.
Kuala Lumpur. All right. I think it's time now to take a short time out, and we're going to talk to Duffy Atkins. You know, you just met her doing the weather at the top.
Yeah.
And she's on the CLTV, and she's going to tell us about the weekend, which is kind of interesting because, as you did just hear, she did use the 8 number.
Mm-hmm.
And not the back number, the front number in one of her temperature predictions. So I think that's a good sign.
Good to hear.
Yeah, really we'll like talk about that over the weekend. Jacob Dylan is going to be here.
So excited about
that. He is. We're going to talk to him and Andrew Slater about their film Echo in the Canyon, which is amazing, a documentary that they have produced about the beginning of the folk rock movement in California in the 1960s that gave us the Byrds, the Beach Boys, and so many other acts that followed from those footsteps. The Mamas and the Papas and Loggins and Messina and all kinds of other acts that came up. And then they led into another generation. They brought you the Eagles, an entire California sound in world history, in world music. So they're here in studio. And then Mr. Dylan, who's not exactly, not familiar with the guitar, is going to do a number or two for us. So we got that going as well. Lauren Lapka's Festival Frenzy coming your way in the 4 o'clock hour.
Nice.
She's going to get all frenzied up about something.
So let us know what to do.
Yeah.
Where to bring our umbrella this weekend.
Exactly. All right. And Lauren fell off a building today. So
she could
tell us a little bit about that, too.
Yeah. And still made it through Eisenhower traffic.
Right. How many stories did you go down?
21.
She went down 21 stories on the outside of the building, not through the elevator or the stairwell.
We got to hear about that.
Yeah. We'll explain all that. But first, we're going to meet Duffy formally. And forever. But let's do this. Let's find out from Kim what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Then there's this. Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Okay. We're cocked and loaded for weather right now.
Is that going to be the theme for the show today? Cocked and loaded.
Right. Locked, cocked, and ready to rock. I'm surprised he didn't say that when he talked about what it was he was going to do. And Duffy Atkins is joining us. I'm sorry, Duffy, that you had to be here for this part of the programming, but it is what it is. And the CLTV and the WGN radio. CLTV, though, we technically we say whatever we want. Have they told you that, CLTV, Duffy? I don't think Duffy can hear us. I see Duffy just staring straight ahead.
Yes,
into
like she's
the
waiting.
Camera, like she's waiting to hear
have a conversation with someone like us, people like us. It's like, okay.
I don't hear them right now. I don't hear the commercial. I don't hear Rocom, but I did earlier.
Okay, so there we go. So hold on 1 second. Let's turn her off.
That helps explain what's going on.
To be fair, and just Duffy, if you can hear us, go ahead and give us a thumbs up before we get. I'm sorry that this had to happen on the first day. Nope. Cannot hear. All right. Would you like to make up the weather?
Well, one thing I will tell you as we're waiting for her, which I thought was kind of cute, is did you see the 22nd District for the Chicago Police Department put out a missing persons report for summer?
Oh!
First day of summer.
Oh, they're so funny.
It's so cute.
Oh, what
it's
a great,
cute.
What
it made me laugh a little bit. Last seen, August 2018. Notify Mother Nature.
Yes.
If found. Okay.
Duffy, are you with us? All right, good.
Oh.
Woohoo!
Yay!
We got this all worked out.
We got you, Duffy.
This has been a work in progress.
Yes, it has. You know what's funny about this is that you were standing there, and it's, you know, this is live on television. It's very important. You know, CLTV, this is very important stuff, right? It's won Emmys there, and you're standing there, and we're talking to you, and I'm setting up, and I said something completely inappropriate, and you didn't. Your face did not move in any way, shape, or form.
Very professional.
And I thought, oh my God, what a professional! She's going to stay totally in character here, and I didn't realize you couldn't hear me. So this is perfect.
Okay, let's just rewind, and then just tell me what you have to say because I'm afraid to meet you.
Oh. Why would you be afraid to meet Ro?
Why? I don't know why.
Because one night, I went up to you.
Oh God.
In a restaurant.
Okay.
Bibu Pizzeria.
Oh,
my favorite place ever.
Yes, where's my bell? Yeah, Bibu. The best pizza in America.
That's right, on Fremont Street in Lincoln Park.
Are you an investor?
No.
Okay. You got a piece of that?
Anyway, so yeah, so you came up to me at that restaurant,
and
right?
I came up to you, and I said, I introduced myself, and I said, this is my son, and you looked at me, and you had no idea who I was.
That's okay. I don't know who anybody is. So that was all.
What point of the evening was this, Steffi?
Yes,
let's get more specific.
It could have been.
I don't know where he was before. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he went after. Yeah. I just know.
You didn't know what was on his mind at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Duffy, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I don't know what happens.
He's got a very big heart. Sometimes the exterior can be confusing, like he was at those Cub Sox game. You were photographed in the best seats anyone could ever sit in on the most beautiful night of the entire year, watching the Cubs play the Sox, and everyone's like, why does he look so perplexed? Why does he look so upset?
I had a lot of thoughts in my
head.
I'm always thinking, Duffy. I'm always thinking. All right, so we'll go back to the beginning. We'll rewind. We'll start right here. So the police put out a missing persons report on
for
summer. And is summer coming back?
Well, it was never here.
Aha! It was here in 2018. That's what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Last seen on,
but
August.
It actually just started this morning at 10:54 a.m. I got to kind of take this IFB out because it's like echoing in my ear.
Oh, so, and so mixed minus problem. Duffy's got a mixed minus problem. Let's fix this, people.
That's the way to get it done, Ro.
Those horns again or something. Yeah. Make those sirens go off. So 10:54
a.m. If Duffy can't hear us, heads are going to roll, my friends. Heads are going to roll.
You don't even need to ask me any questions. I could just keep on going with about the first day of summer for like 5 minutes.
All right, you do that.
Ask my producer. I could just keep on going. So first day of summer started at 10:54 a.m. And guess what? It's snowing in Colorado and Montana right now.
What?
So they're not going to be seeing.
What?
Don't see any summer anytime soon.
That's mountains, though. Because what I heard is that some of those areas are having better weather than we are. Like Anchorage, Alaska, better temperatures.
The elevation is like 8,000. 8,000 and higher is seeing snow. But still, that's ridiculous. So we have Steve Kahn. You hear Tom Skilling always talking about how we have the retired National Weather Service men in the office here. Well, we got Steve Kahn today, and he says never can he remember on the first day of summer that he still has his blue pencil, which indicates snow, on his map, that he still has it out. I guess what I told him. Break that pencil.
I want to say something, Duffy, right now. That
do you remember me?
Yeah, I remember you now, yeah. Oh, no, as soon as you mentioned it, I remembered it, but I just...
Do you remember blowing her off or looking like you didn't want to talk to her?
Did I blow you off?
He was looking very perplexed. Like,
yeah, that look. We know that look.
Well,
we do know that look.
I mean, sometimes people come up to the table, and I do know who they are, or I've met them before, and I don't recall. I've got Brad Pitt's disease, which is you can't remember what you've seen. Or you age the wrong way or something. I don't know. I got one of those things. Or I eat in every scene. But I have this thing that I, you know, sometimes I just don't, you know, immediately connect people.
It doesn't process as quickly as you would like it to.
No, it doesn't at all.
My dad has the same problem.
Yeah, so that was what it was. And yes, you have a lovely son. Thank you very much for bringing him by.
You're welcome.
All right. There we go.
Next time he'll be nicer.
I will totally be nicer. Yes. Absolutely. But I'm sorry if I wasn't. I like to be nice to everybody when they come up to me. I'm not like that. I'm not like one of those dudes.
Right.
I'm like, I'm a man of the people.
You were not on my A list for a while.
Oh,
okay. You're on my C list now.
Oh, you're upgraded from the D list.
Oh, God.
Well, Rokan, C, starts with a C.
I see what you did there. All right, so so now they're telling me we got to talk about the weather. So let's talk about the weekend.
I know, because we have not had really one good weekend here in Chicago.
No.
You know what? I was just saying yesterday, we did have a good weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Even though we were saying showers and thunderstorms are a possibility for Memorial Day weekend, our Saturday, Sunday forecast was pretty good. It was the Monday that was nasty, if you can remember that many weeks
ago. I remember it.
So I think, honestly, the best day out of this weekend is going to be Saturday. Now, you may get a scattered rain shower thunderstorm tonight. And also, we're just looking at a little time lap right here. There are rain showers and thunderstorms farther to the south. That's why we've got the cloud cover over the area right now. So we might get a little bit of rain this afternoon, mostly like LaSalle County, Will County, Kankakee, farther to the south. no thunderstorms or whatever, and it's going to be a mild night. We're actually going to start warming up, finally. Even lakeside temperatures are going to be warming up because we'll have a lighter lake breeze.
Okay.
And that Chicago water, I know you're waiting for that, is 63 mm-hmm. degrees.
Yes. Well, people are. They want to know if they get to go in the water.
Mm-hmm. I like to dip my toe.
But you can put your big toe in the water.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so then Sunday, it looks you have a better chance to get the scattered rain showers and thunderstorms.
Okay, so I thought it was going to go the other way. So tomorrow's a better day for outdoor activities. Mm-hmm. And is it going to be scattered tomorrow or an occasional? What happens there?
I think they're going to hold off for most of the day. I think we're going to be very lucky.
Very lucky. That's right.
And
okay.
Graduation party's going on. Yeah. I think you guys are going to be all right. Now, there's a small chance to get that rain. I'm sorry if it happens. I've got a graduation party to go to, so I'm really crossing.
So you're gonna get yelled at.
It's
right?
been raining all these weekends. I went to graduation party a couple weekends ago. It was raining. It's just, you know, this is what you have to plan for.
Mm-hmm.
June has become lousy. Last June was terrible. The last 6 months we've had below average sunshine percentages. I mean, we've had barely any sunshine for June. I mean, we've got to change this. We've got to turn things around.
And we will. We'll at this very moment. I'd like to turn things around with you, Duffy. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Duffy Atkins, ladies and gentlemen. Meteorologist at WGN-TV and CLTV. All right,
Duffy.
Let's get to the news right here with Kim Gordon. And on the other side, Jacob Dylan is going to join us, along with Andrew Slater. They've got a new film out, and you're going to hear live music from Jacob Dylan coming up a little bit later on in the program as well. But first, Kim's news brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace.
Yeah.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, with whoever you wanna do it. Go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, with whoever you wanna do it.
There's a great story about this song.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get to see Echo in the Canyon, they're at the Music Box here tonight. I think that's a sold-out show. But you should look for this movie, Echo in the Canyon, because it is a look at the Laurel Canyon movement in music in the early to mid-1960s and then into the late 1960s and what was actually going on through that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That created this like artist's colony. And we've got the producers and the star of this documentary, Jacob Dylan, of course, from the Wallflowers, and you know, many, many years in music, grew up in it and lives and breathes it. Fascinating as you sort of narrate your way through this with all these guys that you probably knew when you were 3 years old. I'm sure some of them, right? Or people that
no,
not a single one of them, really.
No, I know all these people as an adult, as another musician traveling around. Maybe Tom Petty I knew a little bit as a teenager. He's in the film.
Yeah.
But the others know.
The Tom Petty piece, mm-hmm. and I don't want to give away too much. I just mm-hmm. want people to see this. Richard Roper is here, of course, who gave this 3.5 stars.
I love his work.
Yes.
We do too.
Yeah, he's kind of okay. Tom Petty opens up this film. Actually, Andrew Slater opens up this film at the very, very, very beginning of it. It's Petty. It's Petty who opens it up, right? Because yeah. You're the director and the
Andrew's
editor.
Here as well. First of all, I just want to say to Andrew as well, congratulations on this film. It's not only a beautiful story, but really, really well directed and great pacing and editing. I think this is a Academy Award level nominee type film as a documentary. It's really great work.
Richard, thank you so much. That's amazing coming from you.
You do fall into it. I mean, you just feel like you're in that moment in time in this wonderful way.
We wanted to make something, you know, different and at the same time, you know, draw you into the story, the uniqueness of that story in 65, where everyone really is, you know, the sense of community and trading ideas and how that becomes the bedrock for really everything in album-oriented rock music for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Tom Petty thing is because the film opens up in a music store and it's Jacob Dylan and Tom Petty. And for a moment, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, my God, is that Tom Petty?
Mm.
Because he's dead. Right. And so there, I have the sense that maybe it's like, yeah, it looks just like Tom Petty. And then all of a sudden, it's that unmistakable voice comes out, right? And you're arguing about the pronunciation of a guitar. And
Tom's setting the record straight.
Of course
they are. Right. And it is, and it's just one of those, I think one of the beautiful things about this film, and I think one of the beautiful things about this level of artistry, and the story here is that it, what you found in your movement is music geeks finding each other, essentially, and deciding that they were going to share each other's ideas. They're borrowing from each other, not stealing. There's a whole argument in the film about the difference between that. And finding a way to just be collaborative, because every musician knows this, right? There's a moment where you get stuck on something, or you have this idea and you think, well, am I the only person who likes it? Is that a little bit of like what you're going for there?
Going for, you mean in the film?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed to be a theme I saw emerge a number
of
times.
Well, I mean, in this particular community at the time, they were borrowing and sharing quite a bit. But I guess we do that today still, but people are a lot more protective of their material because they realize they can pay tuitions and get car payments out of their copyrights.
Right.
But I don't know if they were so aware of that or too concerned, or maybe they're just too high. I don't really know. But they, they're very, very open about it then. And you hear a lot about it in the film, which songs came from what.
Right. What led to what?
How they influenced each other. But that was that community that sort of elevated the stakes, right? I mean, they were competitive with each other, I imagine.
You know, in a sense, maybe. But I think when Roger McGuinn, you know, he sees A Hard Day's Night and he sees the Rickenbacker guitar and he gets a Rickenbacker 12-string and he electrifies folk music, you know, that leads to him taking Pete Seeger's Bells of Rimney, electrifying that song. George Harrison hears that. He writes If I Needed Someone. That goes on Rubber Soul. Brian Wilson hears Rubber Soul. He writes Pet Sounds. Then the Beatles get the acetate from Lou Adler in London of Pet Sounds, and they write Sgt. Pepper, and so it begins.
How about that?
Do you think, Andrew, because you've been a record executive too, that do you think that is still alive in the sense of people hearing each other's work and respectfully lifting, or is it a little bit more cutthroat now?
Yeah, I think it exists in hip hop in a really great and creative, fertile way. For what was happening then, I sort of feel like it was the beginning of things, so maybe they didn't know how much money was involved, and they weren't as proprietary about their publishing entities. But of course, the sharing of ideas is the thing that drives every artistic community, and you know how transparent it becomes is always the key to having something original or having something that's tracing paper, and that's at the core of anything.
I think one of the great moments, Jacob, is when you do with Jade Go Where You Want to Go, and you've got Michelle Phillips, of course, from the Mamas and the Papas there, reacting to your performance. Can you talk a little bit about how that all came together?
Well, we did some of that. You know, we take it from some of these sequences, we take it from myself and someone else learning the song to a performance we did a concert out in Los Angeles a few years ago at the Orpheum Theater. And then there's other situations where we play the song for the people who originated it, like what you're mentioning about Michelle Phillips. And it's a little daunting, but, you know, I think usually people are, yeah, I would be flattered if someone were to do that in front of me. It wasn't nerve-wracking, I wouldn't say, but it's exciting.
Well, the look on her face is just absolutely, you know, beautiful, where she's just going, "This." Not only is this a great performance, but she's like, this is a good song, wasn't it? Yeah. Which, of course, this music does hold up so well, and you have this great collection of artists, you know, whether it's Jade or Fiona Apple and Beck. And one of the things I love too is the joy of not just the music, because so much of that music was beautiful and some of it was pretty heavy, but so many was so joyous. But the joy you guys have in performing it, I really felt like you guys are really, really digging what you were doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that for people like myself, quite a bit of our job is done if we have a good song to begin with. A lot of the hard part is just finding out what songs you want to sing and what are going to suit you well. But all these songs we chose are just great songs, and they're all mostly, I would say, positive songs, upbeat. And keep, you know, I wouldn't say we keep it light, because I think the images in the songs are really powerful. But
well, the story behind that song is great, and you get to that story in the documentary. I mean, because it comes from real life, right? Of a woman who did not want to just be with one man.
I think the boundaries of the relationship were defined differently for John Phillips and Michelle.
Apparently so.
We learned that.
It was very well said.
There may have been an earlier version of the lyric where it was go something else. We don't...
Yeah. That sounds like something that would come out in therapy, actually, is what that was. Yeah. It was interesting because, you know, you hear those stories because Fleetwood Mac, you know, the next generation, right, up of, you know, that moved into the canyon and, you know, in the 1970s. That was going on there, too, right? I mean, that's, you know,
it was material. It was all material.
Yeah. Right. Who was who was going to sleep with whom?
Right. The tensions within the band that created some great music.
Well, yeah.
You know, it is the part of the sexual revolution of the 60s. Maybe they weren't quite right about all that, but but that was the time.
Oh, and well, and speaking of that, David Crosby, there is a story in this documentary that is, I won't give it all away because I want people to see this, but David Crosby, who can sometimes be, you know, a reluctant customer, right? You got good stuff out of him, Jacob, I thought, because I've interviewed him a number of times and he lives his own path, right? I mean, he just kind of wants to go and tell the story he wants to tell. And he was a very interesting one about his moment when he was leaving the Byrds because he had written a song about a sexual experience he had. And the Byrds just thought, we're going a little more commercial.
Well, they didn't think in 1967 that a song about a menage a trois was going to get on the radio. And they were probably right, and he was probably wrong. But all the songs in the film, you know, they all tell the story in one way or another of why those bands may have broken up. You know, they all came together as like the Beatles. They were multiple singers and multiple songwriters. Like I said, Mamas and Papas, Go Where You Want to Go. Mm-hmm. Michelle sort of lets you know where there was tension in that group. And the Byrds with Triad and David's insistence on putting out a song with a menage a trois. And then ultimately the Buffalo Springfield, which have Stephen Stills and Neil Young and Richie Furay. Stephen tells you that, you know, Expecting to Fly, which is in the film, is the point where Neil doesn't let him in the studio and he's sort of going his own way. And, you know, that ultimately breaks them up.
Yeah. Amazing stories. You got a real sense of a behind the scenes sense. The question I have, and I don't know if either of you know the answer to this, but did David Crosby have the menage a trois the night before and write the song? Because it seemed like very fresh to him still.
I think he was having it every night, according to what Graham
seemed
said.
To be that way.
it was a wild moment.
Andrew, I want to ask you about, I mean, there's such a wealth of material here, obviously, and Jacob did such a wonderful job talking and listening to a dozen legendary artists, and then you've got the archival stuff and the TV stuff. How did you manage to whittle it down? I mean, that editing process must have been a huge thing for you.
I mean, it is, you know, an editor's medium in a sense, because you have all of those things and you're trying to figure out how to weave them together into a narrative that tells you a story. But also, we were also trying to not use a narrator. So it's this sort of free-flowing thing where you're finding out how the bands influenced each other, and then you're finding out where they recorded and where they lived, and then ultimately you find out, you know, why it broke up and why they didn't stay together. But really, I had, you know, my first experience about music was really not in a concert hall. It was in the movie theater. These bands that I wanted to see, my parents would never let me go to the Fillmore and these other venues to see them. So when I saw documentaries like Woodstock and Monterey Pop and later
Don't Look Back, you know, Don't Look and Back, stuff like that,
that's where my DNA changed, and I was, you know, interested in being, you know, in music. And so when we went to make this documentary, we were talking about what to do, and one of the things was to try to record a song, then in the middle of that song, go to this concert, then come back to the studio where you're recording, and then have the author of the song there. So the editing process was, you know, complicated as it would be with anything, that you're using archival and current footage. And then there's Model Shop, which is the film is sort of inspired by the Jacques Demy movie from sort of 68 or 69, where, you know, this guy is sort of driving around L.A. searching for the answer to something, as in French cinema.
Just looking good in a convertible along
that's
the
all
way.
That's all that counts.
Yeah. Right. Just come everybody off wants to move to California if you see that film.
2001, like, Space Man. Odyssey. And they were isn't that the guy? When I'm watching the movie, I'm like, who? I know that guy.
Well, yeah, it's Gary Lockwood. And, he has on his face, you know, like, I think Joan Didion described California driving around as this amorphous unease that you have.
Perfect.
Exactly.
It's in Illinois too. Yeah,
on the Kennedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are we Jacob? As a musician, was there something that someone said in all these hours and hours and hours of interviews that you did with them that really just struck you? You know, because music is about truth. Great music is about truth, and the art is about truth. What all those artists that you were talking to, who, you know, came before you, right? And that you know, there's no question that you're influenced. Your music is in a lot of ways influenced by all that string work. Is there something that you heard from any of those people that was like, just clicked for you?
Well, give me think about that for a second. But I want to go back to what you said before about, what did you say about music? The best music is truthful?
Yes.
I don't agree with you.
It's not about essential truth?
I don't think, no, I think you can, I don't think it has to be truthful. I think you have to have, I think you just have to be convincing, and I think you're allowed to draw outside the lines. And I think that's kind of a, I mean, I've wrestled with that for a while. I think that's, in my opinion, kind of a misconception. But I don't think that's what you're actually asking me. You're asking me something in the film that was actually really striking. I mean, all of it was, and I think that we realized right when we started, particularly with Eric Clapton, I don't think we knew what to expect. With me sitting down, I'm not a traditional interviewer. I don't do that at all, actually. But I've been interviewed a lot myself, and we wanted to just have conversations with these people. But I think we realized right away that they were being extremely candid, which may have had a lot to do with it being that I wasn't a journalist, or they weren't, right, you know, promoting a record or something.
They know you.
Yeah, you know, all these people. Yeah, one way or another, I hadn't met Brian Wilson before, which was pretty wild, and most of them I had.
Yeah,
But we also had just a common language, which is just being musicians. Sure. You cut right through a lot
You trust this. Each other.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of a lot of intuition in just having a conversation. You know, the other one knows what you're talking about.
And you were asking questions that they've been waiting a long time to tell stories about, right? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, that was something I was concerned with. Just asking these people to, you know, go back and reminisce about something 50 years ago. A lot of people don't enjoy doing that.
Some can't, right?
Some can't. Some can't remember. Some don't remember.
Yeah. Right.
Some have to go read the biography that they
that they wrote, that they never read. Yeah. But what I love about this, too, guys, is that in some ways, you know, the essence of a lot of these greats is the same as it was 50 years ago. David Crosby's still a pain in the ass a little bit. And Graham Nash is still more optimistic, and he talks about how he believes music can change the world. And John Sebastian looks the same. He's still rocking the mutton chops, you know, but I love to see that their spirit is the same when they're in the 70s as when they're in the 20s. It's kind of, I guess maybe the music in some ways keeps you, you know, young as well.
All right, stop for 1 second. Echo in the Canyon is the movie that we're talking about. There's a screening and a Q&A tonight at the Music Box Theater. That starts at 7 p.m. And then tonight also, there is a screening and Q&A at the Arclight Cinemas, which is just a few blocks away from the, you know, like within
that's
a mile,
nice.
Right?
So
that works out nicely. And that's at 7:30 tonight. Cool. And that's ArclightCinemas.com. And, of course, MusicBoxTheater.com as well. We'll come right back. Jacob Dylan, Andrew Slater with us.
I keep looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they ain't doing me no good. I wish they could. Each time things start to happen again, I think I got something good going for myself. What goes wrong? Now sometimes.
Jacob Dylan, Echo in the Canyon is the new documentary. It's premiering tonight. It's playing tonight, screening tonight. The Music Box Theater at 7 o'clock. And then also at the Arclight Cinemas, which is in New City, just south of North Avenue.
Yeah.
That is. There's a screening tonight at 7:30, and there is going to be a live Q&A and music afterwards.
How about that?
At both of these performances.
Pretty cool.
And you get to see, because, you know, you see a lot of music in the film. No full, complete songs, though, which is interesting. It moves through. There's a companion record for this, right, or an album for this?
Yes, soundtrack.
Yeah, soundtrack.
Soundtrack, right. And then, for those, again, to just quickly reset, you're looking, you're scoping an era in music history that changed American music, that changed then world music, because it was how could you amalgamate folk into rock? And the Byrds did it, and the Beach Boys did it, and all these guys were living in Laurel Canyon in the 1960s and all started sharing with each other their ideas and then feeding off of each other did it. The Mamas and the Papas, as we mentioned, and then we found out they were all sleeping with each other too.
Yeah, you know.
And
a lot of drama back then.
Right, and David Crosby was sleeping with two or three of them at a time.
And so wanted to talk about it.
These are things we learn in the film, but that's not what the film is about, but I do think that would put asses in the seats. So that's something to mention.
708, just
just walked out of the 155 showing of Echo. Freaking awesome.
Oh, is that a text?
Yeah, a text just came in. Yeah. Movie's great.
It is. It really, 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 really is great. And the music is great. And then what Jacob has done is put together an all-star cast of other musicians around him. And you're doing these songs in such an interesting way, too, because you want to get to the essence of the music.
Well, I think so. And I think, we chose songs that we could help tell the story of the film with. And then, the people who are of my generation that we reached out to sing, they're people that we knew, and they all have a connection to Southern California and Los Angeles and even Laurel Canyon. People like Cat Power and Regina Spektor and Beck.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody, my feeling is everybody enjoys being a part of something if it's positive and the songs are good. It's not, people like to be there.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't want to make a tracing paper version of these songs, so taking them and making them as duets with the man and a woman, mm-hmm. when someone is singing Never My Love, when Norah Jones and Jacob are singing, it becomes a conversation. And the same thing with Expecting to Fly. That song was written by Neil Young, and it was about, I guess, the end of a relationship. So when Regina Spektor and Jacob are sort of trading those lines, it just has different meaning. And I think that's what we were at least trying to do.
It's nice, yeah, because they're not copycat versions, they're not covers. There's a little more muscle in some of the songs, like Go Where You Want to Go. I mean, it's a great band that you got there too, Jacob. I mean, that's just a really great sound.
Thank you.
And they're in the other room right now, which is pretty cool.
Oh, I said that.
Wow. That's fortunate, isn't it?
No, it's true.
Some of those guys are sitting back there right now going, hey, time's a wasted.
Well,
we
it's really
go.
Cool, though, because after you see the movie, first of all, as I said in my review, you should have these songs already on your playlist, but if you don't, you go back to the originals, but then you want to bounce back and forth and hear what Jacob and his collaborators did, too. It's fun to play them back-to-back and really celebrate the music, because it really is.
Sounds like
the songs are so damn good.
Well, and Jacob, you are, to my ear, one of my favorite musicians, top three musicians of all times, and I saw you a decade and a half ago. I've always wanted to say this to you, so now I get a chance. You're sitting right here.
He's been waiting to hear from you.
I don't know what the name of the theater is anymore in Tinley Park, but you were
the big outdoor venue,
the big shed in Tinley Park, south of the city, and you were on the bill with Mellencamp, and there was a you did "Won't Get Fooled Again" as your closing number, and it's a cover, right? And so a band does a cover, and you're thinking, okay, a band is going to do a cover. I've seen The Who do that 24 times. Yeah. I've never heard a performance like that song, like you guys put on that night. I was blown away. Oh, I'm like, Mellencamp, I'm walking away. I got nothing to do. There's no reason to be here for him.
It's incredible.
I saw the best show I'm ever going to see.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
So,
we did that song for a little bit. That was an ambitious song at the time. I thought so, too. It's a, that's a defining song by that group. But sometimes you just got to bite off a little more than you can chew and go for it.
Oh, my God. Did you ever? You really did. That's awesome. You killed it. And that's what you do here, too. Because you make, as Randy Jackson taught us, you made it your own dog. And you did. And it's
wow.
Can I be Paula Abdul?
Way back for that reference. That's fantastic. Yeah,
but it's really amazing because you did, because it is. It's not cut and paste. This is a great, people should get this album. Should see this movie. They should go download the music, Echo in the Canyon. They're really going to love it. Even if you're not totally familiar with that era, you'll get a new appreciation.
Those songs will be in your head. If you've never heard them before, somehow, if you're a millennial, or if you haven't heard them, they'll be in your head after the movie.
I just wish
good way.
If we could have only gotten the David Crosby triad song somehow,
we'll work
I would have felt much better about that. Put that on. You can put that on the follow-up album. All right. Thank you, Jake
guys.
Dillon.
Thanks
Andrew
so said
Jake Dillon is going to actually perform some music next door, and then we're going to play it back for you at 6 o'clock.
Cool.
That's all coming your way. We got the news. I'm a little late, but I'm here with, I'm being a little selfish right now, I know, and I'll apologize to the bosses and sponsors later. Rolling Stones are in Chicago. WGN would like to welcome them. I'd like to take credit for it, like WGN ever. I don't know if they ever sponsored the Stones. GN had strange relationships, though, with rock acts. You wouldn't think about it from the 1960s, the GN, that would have been that. But those young kids, Wally Phillips and guys like that, they made friends with all those guys.
Yeah.
And it was really quite a thing. So the Rolling Stones opening up their worldwide tour here in Chicago tonight at Soldier Field. That
Huge.
Is a big deal. Lauren Lapka is here to tell us all the other things that are happening as well as that are going to create incredible joy for people,
yeah,
and nightmares for people trying to get to them.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Rolling Stones. I had no idea they were going to be here. I hadn't heard about it.
Really hasn't gotten much coverage. No. You know, it's kind of falling under the radar.
I thought I would have noticed.
starting their North American tour here, no less,
which kicks off their world tour, which is really something. And it's funny, you're seeing a lot of people from all over other destinations around the world who are coming in after Mick had his little cardiological issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but did you see the video of him dancing like right after?
Yes.
He proved he's
good.
Got the moves.
He's good. No worries.
There's, you know, there's CGI. I saw Game of Thrones.
Stop.
There are no
That's
dragons
not,
either.
Did you fact check that video or no?
I was trying to. Oh. All right. And he had a coffee cup in his hand. What else is going on? What should we know about?
Oh my gosh. There is so much to cover, but I think one of the biggest ones obviously would be Chicago Pride Fest this weekend, right?
Yes.
It's Pride Month, so definitely plenty of things all month going on. But this weekend is specifically the fest, and there's a pet parade Sunday. I know the other parade is later, but
there's a Pride pet parade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
specifically
fun.
This Sunday.
Dress your doggies up in little rainbow gear.
Who doesn't want to get your pets involved for a whole weekend of celebrating who you are and our differences and things like that? Why not?
Awesome.
But yeah, you know, there's going to be live music vendors, arts and crafts. This is over on Holstead and Waveland. Donations are, you know, suggested. Mm-hmm. Suggested. It's one of those situations.
Does it say it benefits any of the dog or cat charities or anything?
I don't think that the pet parade benefits any pet charities. I would have to look specifically into that.
All right.
But in terms of supporting the festival and things like that, that would be, you know, a good idea. You should give some donations there.
Our pets are proud.
And then another huge event that's going on this weekend that actually isn't in the city would be Swedish Days. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Because I know WGN has been there in the past. John Williams will be there tomorrow.
John Williams.
Yeah, his show will be out there tomorrow. It actually started Tuesday, so this has been like an all-week event. But it's over in Geneva, and again, a music, food, entertainment, carnival rides type thing. A 5K, a parade. I mean, really more than you can do just on a street in Chicago.
Hey, so after you eat the meatballs, you need to go on a 5K or something to run it off.
Yeah, and fun fact, John Williams will be by the beer tent, so perfect place to go.
Say hello to King John.
Were I going, I'd run into him then.
Exactly.
Were you going?
Were
Is that
I
how
going?
You started that?
Yes, I would run into him. And not that I don't wish to go. It's just, you know, there's a lot of things going. I got things.
I thought we're trying to plan.
I bet he's
things.
Going to the Rolling Stones.
I bet he is too. Good guess.
Didn't even tell us.
Front row, probably.
It's fair. No, honestly, there are just so many things to keep up with this weekend. I don't blame you for not being able to go. But if you guys are in Geneva, you should definitely go and check it out. It's a good time. Also this weekend, the world's largest block party. Did you know that was in Chicago?
Yes, I did. And it's at Old St. Pat's, which it is year after year. And they have celebrated the numbers of couples who have gotten married and met there. And it's up to 1.3 million now, I think. I mean, it's literally the meat. It used to be like the meat place. And now I think it's very social. But, you know, families go. Everybody
Better
goes.
Than a bar, right?
Yes.
Or at least according
Kids
to most people.
Who were conceived at the first one are going tonight to this one. That, I think, is what we need to know about the world's largest block party.
I just ran into Father Hurley, and he's very excited about this year's fest. It's always huge.
Yeah.
Big turnout.
I have always wondered about that cognitive dissonance between the priest being excited about this block party and then everybody's hooking up afterwards and then the sin factor for that. But if they want that, it's sort of like there's a flock thing. They're very proud of it. They like to tell that story, right? They like to talk about it. This is a place where, you know, a lot of people meet and then they eventually have to get married.
You might meet, but you're not necessarily consummating that meeting at that moment.
Oh, I think so.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. The block party is like the version of those blankets that some cultures give out. They're like, yes, you will birth many children if you have this blanket on your bed. Come to our block party. Same thing.
And the nuns are bringing you over. Meet this guy over here. He's a nice guy, right?
Real nice over here. Yeah.
He's from, south side.
I honestly haven't been to it yet, so maybe I'll have to head over there. Or maybe I shouldn't head over there. That's probably safer for me not to do that. In terms of a lot of music festivals going on, this weekend is B96's Summer Bash, as well as the Lake Shake, Country Lake Shake.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people love Country Lake Shake. That's over in at Northerly Island over there. The very long name of Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island.
Yeah. Now, I'm just trying to think how many, I'm just between the World's Largest Block Party and Lake Shake,
If there's any overlap,
how
there?
Many unintended pregnancies will there be? That's
wow.
what I'm wondering. So just who's got the who's going to win on that one? I'm just trying. I'm still going to go with World's Largest Block Party. I am still going with that because at
everything.
Lake Shake every year, it's people that are not dressed in a lot of stuff. It's like I can't believe your mom let you out of the house like that.
I didn't believe how many things go, how many short outfits go with cowboy boots, right? The little
concerts,
all
of them.
These days, all of them.
It is
everything goes with cowboy boots.
Well, and then you mix in all the beer vendors there and. They also have carnival rides at that festival, which, again, don't mix the beer and a lot of the rides,
right.
people. That's how things get messy.
I like that overalls are back, though. Have we noticed this? Has everyone noticed the
they
overall
are.
Thing? Yeah, they're out again.
That's just the concert go-to outfit these days. Overalls, flower-made headbands, and a very just drunk look on your face.
Right.
I don't know if you have to bring that or if that happens after.
It's better to hide the molly, I think, in the overalls. It's, the short shorts, the Daisy Dukes were hard to, because you could see the molly through your pants. And now you can get like through the overalls, you can't find it.
No one knows what you're packing.
Is that the secret?
Right, and a plastic flask. That's a very important deal.
All I know is there's a whole Facebook page dedicated to these concert goers.
Like how to, what to bring and how to.
No videos of the crazy things they are wearing and doing and. These poor people, some of them.
Damn kids.
It's bad blackmail. Hopefully they don't know it's there.
I don't know.
I love hanging out outside the festivals where the parents drop the kids off and then like you watch
those
where they go
people.
Places to go change into the outfit they're really wearing to the festival. And then you just sort of just take it in.
You should, you know, we should run, you know, like at Cook County, at the courthouse, you can't bring your cell phones in. So the guy started a business of holding your cell phones. They have a truck that holds your cell phones.
How about that? What an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I want to be I want that truck to go down to Lake Shake and to hold all of the clothes that the people are trying to strip out of and then come back. Oh, and for
like
Lala,
a coat check?
Oh, my God. Imagine the dough you'd make at Lala doing that.
Totally.
Oh. That, it's crazy.
Talk. Oh, it is.
Well, so where you probably wouldn't find those outfits would be Chicago Soul Festival. So that's another music festival going on, partially at Navy Pier tonight and tomorrow. 16 concerts between the whole thing.
Oh, my
but,
gosh.
You know, different genre of music, probably better. No overalls, I'm hoping. I'm guessing.
No. Things would be the same, but you never know. People might go to both.
Yeah, why not stop at one and then go to the next? And then, of course, for you, Anna, we have the Gold Coast Greek Fest.
Gold Coast Greek Fest. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's Chicagopa is the hashtag.
Chicagopa.
Nice. So
how do you pronounce that properly?
Opa, I think. But it's an Annunciation Greek Orthodox Cathedral. This is the cathedral. So every neighborhood has a Greek fest, and we know that happens. And we all know our neighborhood Greek church has one. But this is the cathedral on LaSalle at Division 1017. Starts today. They're already out there. The yayas are already making the pastries for you. So head over there. And it's fun even if it rains. It really is. I've been many, many times.
And the
when
yayas
it's
are also trying to get hooking up people, right? They're trying to hook up the. That's exactly. So
well,
the priest
I find
is,
you nice Greek girl,
right? What the priest is doing down on Des Plaines right now? That's you know the yayas
same
are
thing.
Like you Greek,
same
you
thing.
Greek?
It's okay, you pass. You know, you're fine. You like something masalada? That's fine. You're good. But they're gonna have Lagunitas beer on tap, which I think is pretty advanced for the. I mean, that's pretty cool. They've got all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, the pastizio, the Athenian chicken. There's some in the break room for you guys to check, and the souvlaki. Who doesn't love souvlaki? Souvlaki.
Oh, very nice. Awesome. I mean, countless festivals and, you know, just things in the street kind of this weekend. If you're looking for something a little different, there's the Chicago Dragon Boat Race, which I'm sure, you know, kind of says it in the title. But you can watch teams compete, colorful boats on the river. There's also music vendors like a fair. But that's completely free at Ping Tom Memorial Park.
Do you have to make your own dragon
that's
boat?
Oh, down in Chinatown.
I think you do.
Okay.
I think you do.
Probably too late for us to do that.
Yes.
That's over on 19th Street. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think what you're going to find over there, Ping Tom, is that there are going to be some frat bros who are going to go down there and think they're going to be able to make themselves a boat. And then there are some, you know, there are teams that have been doing it. This has been going on for a number of years.
Yeah.
There are teams that you know, are really good at doing this. It's a really wild. That riverfront down near Chinatown in this Ping Tom Park now is really fantastic.
It is. It
so
is.
People should check that out. That is a little off the beaten path,
yeah,
but it's really
different.
But people will enjoy that. Is there beer at that too? Because I like beer.
Well, you know,
still like beer.
I like beer.
It's vendors, so I'm guessing there would be some beer there. A lot of times they don't specify, but you should go and tell us, and then we should.
Okay,
go.
I'll get right to it. Right after I'm done getting hooked up at the world's largest block party, and then I'll head down there. See if I can find myself a dragon. You know, dragons are very, very popular now.
Game of Thrones, you know, a lot of people. They're into the dragons. But that round off our
I mean, yeah, of course, plenty of art festivals as well. So go there, get your supplies for your dragon boat, and then head over. there's also, you know, plenty of walks. There's Walk for Kidneys, and there is a Cooley's
Anemia Foundation Care Walk. I actually run for kidneys, is what I do.
drink for kidneys?
I walk very quickly sometimes because of kidneys, and then I often run. So that's how that goes. All right, Lauren Lapka, it is once every Friday, the Festival Frenzy, Friday Festival Frenzy.
Love it. And of course, you can always find the details on the Weekend Warning, not specifically the video this time around, because again, I know we're going to talk about it later. Another thing you could do tomorrow is a wonderful event for Habitat for Humanity, where I rappelled off 21 stories. So I was quite busy this morning, but the whole post has all the different events and closures.
You went down
the
outside of a building for 21 stories.
I did, and I amazingly didn't pee myself or die.
Speaking of kidneys. All right, well, very good. Excellent. Very
well
done.
That's amazing.
Look at you. Look at that. Our kids are also grown up now.
They totally are. They don't need us anymore. Yeah, I hate it.
I hate it, too. All right, let's do this. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's going on in the newsroom.
One city has abruptly ended their scooter program. We'll tell you why coming up.
It's us. Please tell us it's us. Is it us?
You have to wait and...
Wow.
Okay. Ooh.
Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN Chicago. Hold on, having a technical. I'm always having a technical now, Kevin Powell. I don't know what that's all
about.
Did
you have any baklava yet?
I didn't.
While you're having a technical, so I was asking
technical
about that.
Difficulty.
I had, you know what I had? I had a little bit of the spanakopita.
Is that what's in the kitchen? I saw like the half the radio station was huddled around a couple trays of food. So I
didn't
know what was going on over
get
there.
Get over there, Greek Fest, all Gold Coast Greek Fest this weekend, and they sent over some food. It's Chicagopa.
I like that.
All right. Coming up a little bit later on the program, you're going to hear live music that is being recorded right now. You'll hear it from the first time, Jacob Dylan and the rest of the band from the documentary Echo in the Canyon. And wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It is.
They're so good.
I just got thrown out of the studio.
I was going to say, which one of our engineers has the pressure of recording that, making sure it is to Jacob Dylan's standards?
It is. I mean, you know how scary this is?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's
I got a thing to do. Calling another engineer.
Okay, we have not only Jacob Dylan in the other studio, but we also have the guy who was the president of Capitol Records.
Oh, just the president of Capitol Records. Okay.
And he's in there, too.
I'm sure he has low standards. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. And he's
hovering over the shoulder of our engineer.
Right. And I'm like, how did this end up here on this radio show?
I know. It's making us all feel like there's pressure. But they are so good. We've just kind of dipped in and listened just a tiny bit. Oh, my gosh. They are so
amazing.
It's so good.
Wait till you hear this at 6 o'clock. I know we always have really great bands.
We do.
And Studio G is an amazing studio to record in. And these guys were happy to do it because we have the best engineers and all that. And
we do.
This is, you know, not just broadcast, but it's recording quality. And it is... I mean, it's but again, Mr. Dylan was like, all right, can everybody just get out of the way here?
I'm trying to work.
We're trying to work here.
And everyone's really sort of peeking in.
Yeah.
Coming up with reasons they need to be in there.
So I'm like, okay, I got to get out of the way.
Did I leave my phone in here?
Yeah.
My phone charger in here. No, I think it was a cup of water.
No. Sure.
You can check for the seventh time if my phone's in here.
He loves that.
Yeah.
I know
he
loves that.
Yeah. It's clear. It's clear. All right. Let's check in here with Chris Bowden, who is at Rogers Arena in Vancouver, British Columbia, is how I like to pronounce it, but that's not how they do. And there is, well, listen to that. There's a band back there. Bodie, I hope they throw you out of there, too. That's part of this deal.
Part of me wants to be there with you guys with what's going on in your studio.
Jealous.
But work is work, okay?
Yeah.
You've had this going on right now. You've had Hootie and the Blowfish. You've had Smash Mouth. So nothing but the current top charters right now.
Wait till Nickelback gets there. Then you'll have a trifecta.
Vancouver, oh my.
All right. Well, that's, you know, the Canadians are very, they're lovely people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Waiting for a couple of the Smash hit bands. courtesy
when, what time does the draft start tonight?
Starts at a little after 7 Chicago time. Okay. So by the time 7:30 rolls around, I would think we would have the Blackhawks pick by then, barring any trade out of that number 3 selection. But I think it's safe. Yeah, it's going to happen very quick based on the way they jumped up from what was originally going to be the 12th spot a couple of months ago with some lottery luck, jumping up to number 3 here.
Or is it Gary Bettman's getting out there, even though I think he's an American. I don't think he's a Canadian, right? Isn't Gary Bettman?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah,
he is,
but he puts out for this, though. You know, he's got to put on the best Canadian accent. Okay, picking at number 3.
Actually, I think he put the playlist together is what he did.
Yeah. God, I love Hootie and the Blowfish. I love them.
Smash Mouth rocks.
Right. He also got the cast of Friends and the Friendsicle or whatever that musical is. They should do that, too.
He usually gets this thing underway to start and then gets out of the way, which is probably a smart thing. And all the respective general managers come up and or team representatives come up and actually announce.
But does he do the full Goodell? Does he go out with each number?
I think there is a photo op, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes out in a...
Right.
Right.
So
with the 3rd overall pick, it's the Chicago Blackhawks, and their pick is totally unpronounceable.
Somehow they say the names.
I think we'll get lucky tonight with whoever they pick. These are fairly easy, especially...
you think it's Turco?
Capo Caco is a little different, but even that's kind of simple.
Oh, we figured that one out yesterday.
No.
We nailed it.
No. You don't... Wait. That is not as simple as you think. Because we ran that through the... There's a program on the interwebs that allows you to get things pronounced in Finnish.
Corvo.com.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out the Capo Caco, which was the name of a product I was working on in the 80s. It was very right for the times, but I guess ahead of myself.
I see QVC.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Caco should happen to slip to number 3 and the Blackhawks take him, they'd have Capo and Cuckoo on their team. So that'd be a nice little combination.
So Jack Hughes and Caco are the consensus top 2. Any chance either of those guys fall to the Blackhawks at 3? If not, Chris Bowden's official prediction on what the Blackhawks do with the 3rd pick.
Yeah, I really don't think they're going to drop to number 3. Those are the two guys who are NHL ready, and they will start with their respective teams. Everyone else, there's a chance the defenseman, Bowen Byram, he's still only 18 years old. He could. They're talking about him being so good that he could potentially be a starter from day one. But that's also a difficult situation. I was talking with Cochran and the guys in the morning show. With an 18-year-old, he has to either stay in the NHL or go back to junior for the entire year. There is a 9-game window at the start of the year where he could play for the Hawks, and then they decide whether to keep him or send him back. But they can't send him to, like, Rockford and then bring him up during the course of the season.
He's got to go play for the Guelph Storm.
Yeah, actually, he played here in Vancouver for the WHL team. So he'll, I'm sure, get a nice... round of applause here, but
when they're 19, they get to be able to go down, right? Is it 18 is the cutoff? Because Kane and Taves were up here, you know, right, as 19-year-olds.
Right.
I don't think they ever went back down, though, did they?
No, once they were up for good.
Yeah.
Jonathan went back to school for another year at North Dakota when he was drafted in 06, and that got him to that right age. And then Kane was brought to training camp, and I think they kind of knew he would make the team as a rookie.
Right, and they thought, you know what, we'll keep him
up here. Something.
No big deal. Yeah, we got Patrick Kane. All right, so...
Yeah, I think it's going to be either defenseman Bowen Byram or Alex Turcotte, who's a kid from the Chicago area who's committed to go to Wisconsin the next year. They could always back off on that commitment if he does well in training camp. But then once... Yeah, again, that's another situation. Once he's up here, there's no going back, especially Wisconsin's not going to take him back if he starts in the NHL.
Right.
So this is another guy who's very much in the mold of Jonathan Taves, who was the number 3 overall pick last time it was here in Vancouver back in 2006. And so there would be some symmetry there. But you never know what's up Stan's sleeve. So
do you think that they're going to be looking at, whether it's between Byram or Turcotte, who can contribute sooner? Do you think that factors in here, or do you think they just go with the best player available?
Well, the company line is who the best player is going to be, whether it's right away or down the road. And once they get past these first two guys, and Byram and Turcotte are kind of expected to go 3 and 4, but they're also bunched in among a group of 8 or 10 players who are fairly evenly stacked in terms of their potential and their talent. And yeah, I don't think there's any way, you know, Stan can't make up his mind or thinks that there would be greater value in picking up another asset, whether it's a current player or a future pick, and moving down a couple of slots for a player he believes could be comparable in the end in the NHL. But I still don't see that happening. When you're at number three, it's going to take a whole lot to get out of that, especially if you believe.
Well, you know, we're just going to have to wait, because between you and Weidemann, you know, there's no one's going to be no one was able to, and I blame you for this, Bodie, that you weren't able to go in and sneak and look at the clipboard in the office and figure out who they're exactly going
to
take.
Chris, don't worry. This is what he does to the weathermen that come on the show and can't give a proper 100% accurate forecast
exactly
for the weekend. He wants to know minute
happen.
By minute what's going to happen.
Why is it partly cloudy instead of mostly cloudy?
I'm having dinner with Mick Jagger tonight, and I won't be able to watch this thing. And so I don't have time. I got things I got to do.
There was a computer that was open and on at the Blackhawks table when I walked
Ooh.
In. I thought, I better not.
No,
no,
you better not.
No, you better,
you better not.
Not
admit
better
it,
not.
At least. Let's put it that way.
You think about it, but you don't do it.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
All right.
Stay away from that.
All right. So Gary Bettman, does he get booed tonight?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Where doesn't he get booed? So he'll kick this thing off and probably hear it from the fans here. And then, yeah, likely get out of the way except for the photo opportunities. But, yeah, looking forward to it. And, you know, thankful for the opportunity to come out here. And we'll have a hour and a half show tomorrow afternoon starting at 4 from out here, and have a couple of the Blackhawks executives on live. Hopefully have the first pick on live as well, whether it's here or over the phone. Harry Tynowitz and Scott King are going to be back at the station, so looking forward to that too. It's going to be a fun weekend.
All right, after the draft, we'll start looking at free agency, which is just about a week and a half away. Any names we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I'm still the mindset that these chips aren't going to go all in on a big name, whether it's bringing a Panarin back or a Matt Duchene who's out there who's going to be costing in the neighborhood of $9 to $10 million. The Blackhawks are just getting out of that financial hell, so to speak. And plus, they have to pay DeBrincat and Strome coming up here. They're finally in a better cap situation. But I think any moves that they make in free agency will be more supplemental for depth. Guys, you know, perhaps in the $3 to $5 million range, who can, you know, play anywhere from, you know, a middle six to a bottom six on the forward line, and then perhaps some depth on defense. But the Blackhawks already have some of that, and you know, you would have to think if they go out and sign another defenseman, a deal is going to be have to be in the works in order to, you know, relieve some of the logjam that they have at that position. But in terms of a Panarin or any of those guys coming back, I wouldn't hold my breath.
All right, that's sage advice. At least that was something definitive. You know, that's all I want to hear. Mm-hmm. I want to hear it because I need, again, I don't think Keith Richards is joining us for dinner, but I got to get there. And I'm not gonna, and so I'm just have to watch my phone.
You're
to see
to the
what
show
I
tonight?
Jagger and I are going out for dinner first. Oh, okay. Then he's going to do the show, and then we're going to hang out afterwards. But the way my week has been, that might actually happen.
Mick Jagger will want to know who the Blackhawks selected.
I don't think so.
No,
sure he will.
He's in Chicago.
How about this? I'll guarantee they'll play Satisfaction tonight. How's that?
All right. I'm satisfied with that. Thank you very much. Chris Bowden,
thanks.
You can
thanks,
hear him
Chris.
Coming your way after 7 o'clock. Thank you, sir.
See ya.
All right. There he goes. From the Rogers Arena, where they're playing music from 30 years ago.
So what time will we likely know?
7:20. 7:25.
7:30-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're not beyond the clock. Everybody knows what they're doing, the first two.
Yeah, it officially starts at 7, and then there's sort of pregame things. So I would say the first pick will probably be around 10 after or so.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And because they're so polite in Canada, they, you know, like, okay, the Blackhawks are on the clock for the next, however long they need. That's how it goes. All right, let's check in now with Kim, see what's going on in the news at the top of the hour. Coming up, Stories That Matter, Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We were talking about the Blackhawks, so I got Blackhawks convention passes. Would
Ooh.
You like some of those? Let's see.
Sure would.
You right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, wins a four passes, I should say, for the entire weekend. That's a three-day event, July 26th through the 28th. So when you get to the Hilton Chicago, mm-hmm. you get a hotel room, hang out, do whatever it is you want to do. Couldn't be better.
No, there's just stuff to do in every room, every space, meeting and greeting the players. You get to ask questions. You get to, I mean, the memorabilia, the fun stuff to do, the big opening ceremonies. It's just, it's awesome. It is just all around awesome.
It is.
They do it right.
Photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, all the rest. It's right there, right now for you. There you go. Good luck to you. Coming up on the program, we've got a top 5 of 5. You won't believe Carnival Wagon is going to roll. Oh, the mayor of Tinley Park is here.
Oh,
we were just talking about them. How did that work out?
You
got to
ask him what that concert venue is called.
I do have a problem. I mean, that's, you know, I'm talking to Jacob Dylan about a performance that they did back when it was the World Music Theater, I think.
Oh,
back
okay.
then. Because it was the Tweeter, the World, the.
Something else, too.
John and Bob's. Because two guys named John and Bob decided it would be fun to do the sponsorship for an hour. I mean, it's been everything.
It has been.
Yeah. So it's now the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, by the way. That
okay.
is official. Mm-hmm. So he is going to, he's going to be able to get, I don't like it when a mayor serves the Carnival Wagon, because I always figure that's a civic official.
But apparently they have great breweries in Tinley, and that's what he's going to bring.
All right. And then.
Some samples.
Jacob Dylan's live music performance is going to be played for you in the 6 o'clock hour. At
nice.
6 o'clock. They just got done in Studio G. And wow, what an amazing thing. And then Kevin Powell holds forth. It's, you know, he's going to, at the pregame at 6:30. Are you hosting that?
I am.
Oh, you're a certified badass. See what the kids are doing? See, Lauren rappelled off a building earlier
right.
today,
mm-hmm.
and then she
huge
she and you know, then she did the you know the warm up thing the weekend warm up and then the festival frenzy, mm-hmm. and now the kids are doing all the other stuff. We're gonna lose them. I can see what's happening here. We're gonna lose
the babies kids are out of the out. Nest.
They're gonna move out. That's what's gonna happen.
That takes a while these days. They don't move out very quickly.
Classic student
loans. We can't
loans.
Afford it.
Friggin' avocados blowing all our payroll.
Right. Yeah, thank God that Mexico trade war is shivering down because the avocado prices were through the roof.
We were avocado junkies finally took them away from us.
Can you explain, Lauren, to us what the hell you were doing today?
Please do.
Well, it was actually awesome because I had no idea what it was until our very own Ryan Burrow reached out to me and mentioned that he was going to be doing this because it was a bit of a media preview for something that's going on tomorrow. And he thought, who better to be hanging off the side of a 21-story building than me, apparently.
I didn't meet the weight requirement.
So apparently tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 5, Habitat for Humanity has this high ropes event over in Schaumburg. So this beautiful giant building, all glass windows over at 425 Martingale Road. Most people, I think, in the area know it. You are hanging off the side of the building and rappelling down it by yourself, by the way.
Get out.
But it's all for Habitat for Humanity. So it's for a great cause. If you're a bit of an adrenaline junkie and you want to do something like that, that would be perfect for you.
Now, have you done anything like this before? Was there any sort of prep course you needed to take or anything like that?
I've only done rock climbing, which is, you know, the other way, right? You're going up, mm-hmm. not down. Luckily, they're very good about explaining how to do it, and the equipment they have is very easy to maneuver. So it requires a brief 10-minute lesson right before you're like, okay, go off the building now.
Yeah, for me and Kevin, I think Kevin hit on it. I've rappelled before. I know it's hard for anybody to believe that actually happened. And I almost went totally upside down. And when you're upside down, there's nothing you can do to get yourself right side
oh,
back
gosh.
Up. So they explain that to you,
terrifying.
Right? Don't be head down. You don't want to like be on your back against the building.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't
head down.
You want to keep your feet over there too, because if you lose them and then you're starting to bounce.
I can just see me bouncing
break.
Off the windows all the way down.
Good.
I'm good, guys. I'm okay.
No,
I'm all right. Boom.
Yeah, I honestly felt like a really lame version of Die Hard, but I still felt fairly cool.
I would have went through the glass. Would have had to walk
was
over the glass out of there.
A huge adrenaline rush that you said? I would imagine there is.
I kind of, you ever get that like nervous laugh either?
Yeah.
Tubing or water skiing, you're like, ah,
or you're
kind of
giddy
kinda
because it's sort of, yeah, but it's scary.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Oh,
because I do like, you know, different experiences, something new, but you're also an adult 21 stories up, and you're like, I could very possibly die right now.
And you're like a lot of people in the media are watching you.
Right. What could possibly go wrong?
A few people
Me
in the
Kev.
Media, a couple swans.
Right, a swan.
There were two swans down
there. Pigeon and a bat that's like, hey, hey, what are you doing?
Well, the best was when I passed someone that was working in the building in the window.
Oh, God. I was like, Batman. Yeah. That's like the original Batman 68.
I was like, hi, except for I'm not waving because I'm terrified to take my hands off.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That would be more
well
bad.
Done, Lauren. That's huge.
Yeah, so we'll have a video of that put together to kind of preview the event. But it is tomorrow, so people should look into that if it sounds interesting to them.
Okay, it's Habitat for Humanity. Just
yeah,
Google
for
that.
Habitat for Humanity, the High Ropes event over in Schaumburg.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Kim Gordon is with the news in 2 minutes. That is Jacob Dylan and Jade from their performance a few minutes ago in Studio G here on the 18th floor of the WGN Radio Complex.
Nothing short of incredible. The engineers said they love the sound quality in our studio and they wanted to stick around and play a little extra. So how it's about really that?
Cool. So we have a full live music Friday coming your way at 6 o'clock with the music of Jacob Dylan and Jade. Actually, it's the music of all these great bands from the 1960s.
Right.
That all featured in a documentary that Jacob Dylan did along with Andrew Slater called Echo in the Canyon, which is premiering tonight at the Music Box Theater and also at the Arclight Cinemas. A Music Box at 7 o'clock, Arclight at 7:30. And Jacob and the full band that is in this documentary.
He brought the whole band. We thought he was going to come with like a guitar. Like an acoustic guitar. And they were so excited to come play. The entire band that you'll see in the movie was just here.
And they'll play both the Music Box and the Arclight tonight.
So if you go to see the movie, you're also going to get to see a concert, basically.
Right.
That's really amazing. Yeah, they sounded great. And Andrew, the director, we only had so much time, but for folks who don't know, he's produced like all kinds of stuff. Some of Warren Zevon's greatest albums going way back, so he's got a huge music background before he became the director of this film.
And where's the Arclight again? Because there are still tickets
available
for that.
That's in New City, which is at Clybourne, just south of North, between Division and
Halsted
North.
Area,
but that whole world there, there's food
the Apple
and
Store.
Drinks and restaurants and the Arclight Cinemas, and those are relatively new. They're beautiful.
Right. So Mariano's over there. People will go over to Mariano's.
Yeah. I sometimes end up there trying to get to Arclight 7. All of a sudden, I'm in the Whole Foods.
What's the Lincoln
the
Park Apple Store, too, is right just a stone's
a little
throw
bit north
stone's
of
throw
there,
away.
All right. Now, so there you go. So listen to live music. And if you want to go see them tonight, I think Arclight, there are still some seats available. Hmm. You can go to arclightcinemas.com. I don't think you're going to want to miss this. And also check the Music Box. I think that's sold out, but you never know.
There might be a few. You never know. It's a big venue. Great venue. Both of those places are really cool to see movies in tonight to hear music.
The both of them.
Checking. Let's do this. Let's start.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Oh, this is pretty bizarre. You know, Jim Acosta, right? The guy who is the CNN correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
He's the White House correspondent. He's there. His hair keeps getting darker and darker by the minute.
Gosh.
You notice this? It's a
poofier, too, I think.
Yeah.
Days.
It looks like he's had some work done now. But, you know, he's a constant whipping boy for the president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it past yet. I'm not taking your questions. You are rude. You know, that sort of thing. Well,
he fake newses him all the time. You're fake news.
So the last 2 years have been, you know, pretty much a crazy thing. I think Acosta's written a book now. He's on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And he told a story about Sarah Sanders trying to rope him into singing a Christmas carol at the White House Christmas party just days after a judge forced her to reinstate his press credentials that they had pulled.
After I got it back, there was a Christmas party with the press and some of the folks at the White House, and she and this guy, Bill Shine, who worked for the president for a while, came up to me, and they wanted to sing the 12 Days of Christmas. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute, we just went through this whole press pass court case and everything, and we got to about 5 golden rings, and I was like, that's it, I'm out of here.
What? Yeah. Just the 3 of you, they wanted to sing it?
And then the
that's
rest
the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It was, yes, and I didn't know if it was Deck the Halls or Deck the Correspondent, you know.
Really very disturbing. It's like almost like a horror movie.
It was.
Yeah, it's weird.
So weird.
It's all weird over there. I don't know.
Yeah. Hannity and Acosta are talking about meeting in the playground and fighting on the Twitter today.
They're right. Like
Hannity goes, I'll meet you on the playground anytime.
Because Sean Hannity talked about his friend Mark Levin, who's got a New York Times bestseller, and he said, check your glasses, Jim Acosta said. Mine's on the bestseller list, too. You want to have me on?
And then he says, we're not going to have you and your bleepy book on. But then he said, I will meet you in the schoolyard, Hannity said. I would watch those two guys.
It could be the same day that Tom Cruise battles Justin Bieber. It would be like the first act, like the opener.
What is happening?
Because that's how things should get settled in America.
I probably shouldn't say this, but at the 2016 convention in Cleveland, I did end up in a bar with Sean Hannity and his Krav Maga instructor.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
Yeah. So
he's learning that.
Yes. So he's learning how to take your eyeballs out with like a fingernail or whatever
that's
they do
like
with Krav
Maga. Defense.
Yeah.
Gee.
So if Acosta decides he wants to do it, let me call Acosta and maybe I just call the guy or the woman who dyes his hair first. They'll have his cell phone number and say, hey, don't meet him.
Yeah. Good to know.
Right.
Of interest.
Yeah.
You'd want to know
Krav Maga, make America great again.
Yeah.
I think it's
really great. It's really great that this is what we boil down to in America is journalists threatening to take each other out into the schoolyard because they don't like the president of the United States or they love the president. It's weird, man. It's just weird.
It's weird.
But again, Jim, he knows Krav Maga. Don't do it.
Number 4.
I bet Justin Bieber does, too. Don't you think?
I think so. Sunday night, ABC airs Highwire Live in Times Square with Nick Wallenda. Remember, he did this in Chicago. He walked across between the Trump Tower and
across the river, right?
Yeah,
Chicago River.
Yeah, who could? Yeah, right. Who could forget? Oh no, from Marina City to something across, right?
Yeah, right across the river there. Yeah. There's bridges. You don't have to do that.
There's an easier way. Nick. Like
10 feet away, dude. They go up and down for boats and everything. They're real good. They're good bridges.
So he's doing it in New York City now.
Oh,
which
you gonna do?
Which has sidewalks. He's going to do. He's got a 1,300-foot cable where he's crossing part of Midtown Manhattan. And he did this here, of course, in Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, all those other places. Yeah. So what are you thinking, Nick Wallenda?
Because it's Times Square. No one in the world's ever walked a wire over Times Square, so that was one of the fascinations. And to be honest with you, the distractions of Times Square were a fascination to me. The fact that there are so many distractions. Tens of thousands of people below me. I've got flashing screens below me. The key to wire walking is not getting distracted. Every distraction you can imagine is right down there. So
not falling is the key to it.
Be better at what I do. Yeah.
The dirty Barney's humping naked cowboy down there. I could really get him distracted.
We know what the most amazing thing is? Is that in Times Square, when he does on Sunday night, most people aren't going to be paying attention.
They're not even notice.
That's so true.
Do they want a tip? Do we have to give them money?
Where's the naked cowboy?
Yeah, I'm going to pose with the Statue of Liberty lady. Who cares about this guy? I mean, are people going to watch that? He's not going to fall.
Well, maybe he is.
They're broadcasting it, right?
What if he does fall? That would be bad.
That would be really bad.
Great uncle did die
In Mexico City, right?
Yeah, and then there was another Wallenda
a couple years ago
who broke every bone in her face, and she's recovering from that. She's coming back from
the splatting Wallendas and not the flying.
Too soon. It was 1979. Too soon.
I don't want to watch that. I don't care.
All right. Well, you don't have to. And neither will the people in Times Square.
Well,
the cops in Times Square.
That's so true. Hey, get down off of there.
Right. The cops in Times Square. Hey, nothing to see here. Keep moving.
It's the perfect show to DVR. Then you just put on like 5 times fast forward. And you can watch it like in a minute and a half.
You made it. Wait, hold on a second. Here's the problem. Is that you can watch it.
Yeah.
Or you could just wait to see
social media,
the news,
that's
and see
true.
If he made it or didn't. Because if he didn't,
if
then
he's trending all of a sudden,
yeah, you'll know that he didn't make it, and that's okay.
Well, then don't is trending. Trending is trending on Twitter. That's a good point.
All right. Yeah, you'll see.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, if he makes it, it's not interesting. If he doesn't, you'll definitely see it. Uh-huh. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first.
Is it Friday?
There's also feels a gas like leak it. In here, I think, too. We're just having a little bit of an issue. Let us now check out Kim with the WGN News. The bomb there. What's going on? You can't always get what you want. Are the Stones going to be here, too?
You mean in studio?
Yeah. Live Music Friday is coming up, and no, we do not have the Stones. Because they're getting ready.
They're stretching right now. Maybe yes. A couple hours to get limber.
Right. They're actually restarting Mick's heart right now.
Oh. Is this the first show of the
yes,
tour, right?
The yes. kickoff.
This Ooh. Is the
North
biggest.
North America and then the That's globe.
Amazing. This the crazy thing about this is that people are all from all over the world are here for the show wow. tonight because yeah. they think this could be the last.
Oh, jeez.
So we want to make sure that stent holds.
Oh, well, boy.
You're a true you Stones fan. You want to be at the start of it all.
So the. Cool. So the Stones are here, but Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers mm-hmm. and a musical genius in his own right was in studio with us in the 3 o'clock hour and then went over to Studio G right across the hallway from us here and recorded a number of songs that are part of the new documentary that he and another rock and roll icon, but in the production and executive ranks, Andrew Slater put together. Mm-hmm. Echo in the Canyon is the name of the documentary, and there's going to be a screening tonight at Arclight Cinemas in New City, which is between North Avenue and Division on Clybourne.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
ArclightCinemas.com, if you want to go see this. They're going to be there to do a Q&A. They'll be doing some live music. We're going to play some of the live music they have done here, because this is all music, Mamas and Papas, the Birds, the Beach Boys, that era mm-hmm. from Laurel Canyon in 1965, when everybody was getting together and competing with each other, and then sharing with each other, yeah. and then having sex with each other's girlfriends. That's what that was all about.
They wanted to write songs about them.
Yes.
That not everybody was comfortable with.
Yeah. Not always.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff.
So, that is going to come your way at 6 Can't o'clock. Wait. Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Carrie Underwood, the NFL, and NBC have been sued.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Carrie.
What happened?
They're accused of plagiarizing the Sunday Night Football theme song.
Oh, gosh.
Heidi Merrill and the songwriting collaborators filed a lawsuit Wednesday in federal court in Manhattan claiming she created a song in 2016 called Game On, pitched it to Underwood's producer, Mark Bright, who passed on it, I should say. Merrill alleges that Underwood's song is the same name, Game On, which was played during the opening of Sunday Night Football in 2018, is a direct copyright violation. All right. We have opened up the Rowan Anna
mm-hmm.
copyright court.
Great.
Which we're
good at this.
We yes. always do this when these stupid suits pop up.
Yep. We always get to the bottom of it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Let's listen to Ms. Merrill's version.
Can you feel it? Here comes the storm. Can you hear it? 100,000 strong. Can you taste it? On the tip of your tongue. Are you ready? Let's get
I can, and just hearing it now,
yeah,
I'm pretty close, and I know, and I should ask Kevin Powell since he whistles that song when he
it's kind of close,
yeah,
it's kind of close,
okay,
but not the real thing.
All right, here is the Carrie Underwood version.
Everybody's ready for the party. Everywhere coast to coast. Come on, we're just getting started.
Yeah, you know what? It's on the edge.
Which one was which again?
If I was the jury, the second one was Carrie Underwood.
Oh, okay.
But the fact that it's titled Game On is kind of...
I could do without either. As long as we have the NBC theme song, what matters.
We need consensus here first. Okay. Would you find on behalf of the defendant or on the plaintiff here?
Defendant. It's not strong enough.
I'm going with Carrie Underwood, the defendant, yeah. and her songwriting team. I think there's not a strong enough
I think
connection.
They sound exactly alike.
So you'd go with the plaintiff on this?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Merrill?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's 2-1.
Yeah.
Kev, what'd you say?
Yeah, I'll go with Lauren here.
Oh, I'm the deciding vote.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I am the deciding vote, and I am going with Carrie Underwood, because I'd like her to be on the show. I don't care about this other woman.
The first woman, she was talking about tips of tongues and stuff, too. It was much more innuendo-laced, her version.
Game on.
I didn't even know it was about football.
Well, I wasn't listening to the lyrics.
Well, who does?
Well, they have to prove not only that that they ripped it off, but that they had knowledge of it, possession of it, you know, and all of that.
They
not
have that, though. Yeah. They have that.
Well, they have the manager, but, you know, did what did he do with it after that? If he just said, sorry, no, did Carrie ever hear it?
Yeah.
Game on. Mm-hmm. Game off.
Game off.
Number two.
A previously unreleased track from Freddie Mercury, in 1986 ballad Time Waits for No One from the concept album and stage musical Time. Oh. Dropped last night, complete with a music video of the late star singing the tune. Ooh. Wow, they are jeez, wringing every last dollar out of that
guy. Is Rami Malek going to lip sync to this?
I mean, this is like, I mean, I know that he was a showman and would appreciate his renaissance here, but I think he'd rather be alive to see it.
Time waits for nobody. Plan our hopes together, but we'd have no more future at all. Time waits for nobody.
All right, there you go.
I like it. Sounds a little bit like that Game On in a lower key. No, not at all. Not at all. I think that's pretty good.
I did too. I loved it.
You think Freddie Mercury?
No, I mean, I think that song was pretty powerful.
I thought it was great.
Why wasn't it out before?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why would you not release that?
Powerful ballad.
Think about that. That's strong enough to be on the album.
Wow.
Damn.
Remember, the album used to, you could only put so many on an album. Because it was vinyl and we'd run out of room.
Couldn't make a bigger one.
And finally.
Number one.
You know, this is really very musical top 5 at 5. If we didn't have Nick Wallenda splatting on Times Square, potentially.
Yeah, even Acosta was singing at the beginning, 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah. Jacob Dylan joined us in studio to talk about the new documentary, Echo in the Canyon. Just told you about that. Then they went literally across the hallway here, 5 steps away, and recorded a bunch of tracks for us, some of which we're going to play in the 6 o'clock hour. Time pending, because, you know, we got White Sox baseball coming your way at 7. But won't play this whole one for you. Just a little tease of what you're going to hear after 6 o'clock.
No matter what in the world you do, I'll always be in love with you. No matter what in the world you say, I'm gonna love you anyway.
Okay. Nice.
The best we've ever heard our vocals.
Yeah, you guys have it dialed here.
Thank you.
The top 5 at 5.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
How you doing, Florida? I tell you what I know. I know that you guys are not sick of winning yet, are you?
There you go. That's our version of Drunk Don Jr.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
He does. You know, you can drunk him. Better, you know, that little audio trick that we have.
Yeah,
better than you can even do his father.
Even
it's
dad,
really good. Yeah,
yeah.
It's he's good at it.
Fredo.
All right, let's talk about the Carnarvon Wagon being out. And let's just talk a little bit about the town of Tinley Park because the mayor is here with us. And quite honestly, I'm a little I don't know how I feel about this that drinking in front of a civic official, even though I have done it a number of times.
It was the mayor's idea.
He's bringing the beer.
Yeah. I know, but I've
gotten
drunk with a number of Chicago City aldermen, but I knew one of us was wearing a wire, so that's how that worked. I don't know if this is being recorded. All right, Jacob Vandenberg is the mayor of Tinley Park, and we are celebrating we've been talking about Tinley Park and all the different entertainment options and bars and stuff like that. That whole area is just, it's teeming with stuff. You know, if you want to go, especially if you're going down, you know, to the Hollywood Casino, right? The amphitheater there, which the name does keep changing. We're gonna
yeah, that was a problem we discussed earlier. Maybe you can help us with that one.
Very confused, but it's one of the great sheds in America, right?
Absolutely.
One of those great outdoor music venues. But if you want to go down there and you want to have dinner beforehand, or you just want to go down and hang out on a weekend, there's nothing playing down there. There's all kinds of options. And so you brought the beers of Tinley Park. Is that what I'm to understand here?
That's right.
Okay. All right. This is not a deposition. You can elaborate.
I know, the mayor. I'm like,
don't answer that.
Put his hand over the mic. Consult his attorney.
That
I don't think I need to answer that. I may or may not have brought the beers of Tinley Park. Don't worry about it.
I don't recall. Yes, I don't know.
Are you the mayor in Tinley Park? Can you at least answer that for us?
All right, now I like this one. The first one is called Banging Gavel.
Okay.
Right? That seems to be a... Now, what's the story behind that? Do we know?
Well, Jim, he's an attorney, so that makes sense, right?
So Jim's going to describe it for us?
Yeah, Jim's going to do that.
Jim is? Well,
Jim, you got to be at a microphone.
We need to put Jim on a microphone.
Jim's in the back of the room.
Right, we can't have him explain it from over there. Somebody should have.
Oh, he's even got a Gavel Brews sweater, hockey sweater, if you will, jersey.
I see what's going on.
It's very
there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So,
nice,
hold on.
Jim.
We're going to have to get your microphone all set up here properly.
We have to get union technicians in here.
I can't touch it. Don't touch my microphone.
Guys, Jeff's been working overtime today.
Jacob Dillon was sitting at that microphone a few minutes ago. Hope you'd want to know that.
All right, Banging Gavel.
All right, Banging Gavel. Jim, you're Jim from Banging Gavel. All right, Jim Rickert.
Richard.
Correct.
Okay.
It's all right.
Can we spell that?
Can
for
we start again?
I'd like to get that
Jim,
on record.
You confirm that you are indeed sitting next to the mayor of Tinley Park. We want to make sure of that. That is the mayor of Tinley Park, right there.
That is confirmed.
All right. We're moving. We're getting it going here. I'm back to the drinks.
Exception of what the band did next door. This has been the most blanked up show ever today.
I'm enjoying the brew.
All right.
Very good.
Tell us about Banging Gavel.
Banging Gavel is right now. We're currently a contract brewery, which means we brew at another brewery on their system using our recipes, and we're in the process of doing a brew pub in downtown Tinley Park.
Where?
174th and Oak Park Avenue.
Oh,
that is tasty.
One of the oldest buildings in Tinley.
It is.
Oh, nice.
So describe that one, though, for us.
So that what you're drinking there is called Redirect, which is a golden ale. And it's intended just to be a nice, refreshing, easy-drinking beer.
Yeah,
especially
it is.
In the summer.
Very nice summer. And I love that. Redirect.
Four Seasons.
Roe does that often in conversations over a beer where someone starts, what about that? I'd like to redirect, Your Honor. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
I do like this. This is
I
nice?
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is easy going. But it's light for the summer, but it's also, you could, this
it's
is
a year-round beer.
Yeah,
you could watch a Bears game with a few of these, right? That would work.
Yes, exactly. And then when do you have a date when you guys are going to be opening up?
We're projecting opening next May.
Oh,
so it's a historical building, so it's had a number of challenges, but we're working.
You know the mayor, you're going to work that out, can't you?
I can get you his number.
I think we can put you in touch.
Yeah, I mean, we got to redo the electric. I get it. I understand. Okay,
keep
very
the facade.
Good. All right. Thank you very much, Jim.
You're welcome. Bang
Jim
Gavel,
Richard.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you
very
much.
Good.
The next contestant, please, is let's see now. Hailstorm Brewing. Do we have? Are we really going to do it this way? Okay.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have known that in the rehearsal.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Here we go. Okay, now Hailstorm Brewing, which is at 86th Street. Is that right? Do
yes.
I have that correct?
That's correct.
And you would be Pamela?
Yes, I am.
All right. Petrowski?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the mayor of Tinley Park, Pam? I can introduce you.
About 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay, there you go. See?
Yeah.
And this is the Hailstorm we're trying. All right, I'm going to try that.
And what exactly is the Hailstorm?
So, or You mean the beer?
Yes.
That I brought in? So the beer...
No, the actual hailstorm. What is a hailstorm?
The beer I brought in was our... it's our Shake Things Up Milkshake IPA.
Oh.
I like that name.
Wow.
So it has some nice tropical citrus fruits. Smoothed out with some milk sugars.
Trick that I was wondering what I was getting there.
Yeah, it gives some nice
Won a gold medal at the 2017 Great American Beer Fest. So it's prize-winning beers.
Is that correct, Pamela?
A different beer, our Prairie Madness IPA, did win a gold at the Great American Beer Festival.
She corrected that for the deposition. That's very good.
I'm going to have a little more of the redirect. Just mix it here with this so I get it all.
All right,
very accurate segment.
Now you have your own, this is your own brewing, your own bar there, right?
We do have a tap room. We recently expanded our tap room, almost doubled the space, and we're actually opening up a kitchen in that space next month.
It's all coming. That's going to be great. The mayor is very aggressive here. Would you say that's correct, that the mayor is very aggressive in Tinley Park in terms of getting development?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
With the development.
Does he work well with businesses in the community, would you say? From your experience?
Definitely, I would say yes.
Say yes. You're expanding and you're trying to get the food license. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Wait. Do not listen to your attorney here.
You're intimidating the witness.
Trying to help.
All right, that's excellent. And that's actually really unique because it's
it is the smoothest.
It has buoyancy to it because of the milk sugars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got this whole other thing. It is like, it's almost like a creamy
I like
thing
that,
happening.
Though, yes.
Wow, who it's knew wonderful. That could happen?
Good stuff.
I know. That's one of those things like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial where the chocolate and the peanut butter got together and you had no idea they were supposed to get together, and this is one of those situations.
Good mix.
Who knew the milk sugars? What are milk sugars? What do I need to know about that?
So it's basically lactose. Milk sugars are lactose, just like you have lactose in milk.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got to warn people of the intolerance about that when you're doing that?
Actually, you do. Oh, yeah. Wow. So if you're lactose intolerant, you might want to avoid it.
Oh, yep. God, now so you're telling me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Yep.
Oh, boy.
He's got to excuse himself for a few minutes.
Justin Kaufman on the line. We might need him for the last 40 minutes or so.
You know what? I don't think Mick Jagger's going to like this when I keep getting up from dinner. All right. Pamela, you may step down from the stage.
Very good. Thank you very much. I like that one. I don't think I've ever heard anything quite like that. It's nice to have something unique.
All right. My next, next witness is a sound growler. And this is going to be Kayla. Is this Kayla? Are you Kayla?
This is me.
Yeah, okay. All right. And now this, what do I have here? Number four. What is this?
This is Tortilla Hands, our Mexican lager.
Mm-hmm.
It is 4.8%. It has a fun little lime zest peel character on the back end to it, so it gives it more of a citrusy flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tastes a little, it's got sort of almost kind of a, it's a corn.
Yeah, it's like you're having guac and chips in beer form.
Yes, it's got a little kind of a chippy thing. It's like,
it really is. It's amazing.
This is like Limerita Doritos or whatever they're called. The ones with all this. Great. I love this.
Yes, minus all the extra.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just beer. All we need is beer.
Tortilla Hands Mexican Lager.
Really and good. Where is your... Do you have a tap room, too?
We do. We have a tap room and a small food kitchen. It is off 183rd and 80th Avenue, right across or around the corner from the train station. So.
Oh. You hear that, Pam? They already got a kitchen. You better get to work there. See that?
Get on the mayor, okay? You have great tacos right here, right?
Yes,
people talk about them?
Yeah. We just did Chicago's Best, actually.
Nice.
Oh,
last month, yeah.
But that Elliot guy?
Not Elliot. I forget the name of the lovely woman who
stopped
by.
Oh, she's beautiful,
yes. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Yeah. She was so fun and bubbly.
Yes. What is her name?
Lauren? Is it Lauren?
Is it Lauren?
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yeah.
Yeah, it's Lauren. Yeah.
Lauren.
Not our Lauren.
No.
She's also fun and bubbly.
Larry back here was gorgeous. The one who got to hang out with her, so I didn't actually get to meet her personally.
Okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Larry's showing up for
work. You're like, Larry,
you know how that goes.
Where'd you come from?
All right.
Well, I like this one a lot, too. Each one of these really has a unique flavor.
I just want to say you lucked out, because that Elliot guy, I mean, he gets in there and he just starts breaking stuff, and it's
he's
very
fun, too. Yeah.
Tornado Elliot.
Yeah, that's what he is. And then all of a sudden, he's wearing a shirt that's inappropriate, you know, that says, like, Dick on it, and you're like,
what?
Is that your name? What is that? No, it's for Andy Dick. It's his brand. You know, he, like, does this whole thing.
Wacky.
Like,
he's wacky.
He represented Chicago really well.
Yeah. Right. And he's from London.
Right.
That's
somehow it all works. I don't know.
Does a guy from London get to do Chicago's Best?
He fits like a glove.
Yeah. I only say that because I'm jealous, because I thought my agent couldn't give me that gig either. Ooh. All right. So Sound Growler Brewing, which is 8201 183rd Street. All right. Now, Kayla, you can step away from the stand now. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Kayla. You're awesome.
Mayor, how do you think this is going so far?
This is going great.
You think so?
Interesting, besides the beer characteristics being different, that most of the all the facilities have a different brand when it comes to the music they play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Which is really interesting and how that fits to the community.
Nice.
Tinley Park's representing Life Amplified. We believe back to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, mm-hmm. the former World Music Theater, the Tweeter Center. Yes. I'm forgetting one.
Yes, you are.
But... okay.
I can't remember it either.
Orland's going to be telling Tinley, will you turn it down? You're amplifying everything over there.
See what you're doing, though. See there? Well, it is, it's a great community, right? You got the great business community, that is, pound for pound, Tinley probably, you think about the per capita gross domestic product mm-hmm. of Tinley Park is crazy great, right?
We have a good, very strong business community.
Yes,
we
do.
Very lucky.
And you do. And that, if I just may, mention this, I don't know if this has been mentioned, but Apple Chevrolet won the Time Magazine Auto Dealer of the Year. So the most important, the best, the most community-oriented automobile dealership in America is in Tinley Park.
Wow. That's correct. Are we creeping on my Instagram? Is that how you got that information?
Yeah, so it was creeping on you.
Yeah. Right. I understand.
Exactly.
They do it right. They do it right.
Yeah. So
they do.
So then you have that, you got that whole thing going. All right, now. All right, now this is, I'm just going to, Matt, right?
Yes,
Matt?
Sir.
Yes, you're Matt, okay. And you're from Tribes Ale House. Is that correct, sir?
Tribes Beer Company, actually.
Tribes Beer Company.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so that is not accurate.
It sort of is.
All right. And Tribes Ale House is on 171st Street.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, all right. Is that in Tinley Park, sir?
It is.
It is in Tinley Park.
Yes.
All right. When's the last time you were in Tinley Park?
Oh, man. A week.
A week ago? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. That's good.
Redirect. Go back to the first beer.
What are you doing? This is not information anybody cares about.
I'm just looking at... let me tell you something. I'm looking at Matt right now.
You're trying to make him get all nervous.
No, I'm telling you. I'm looking at Matt right now, and he's been in this situation before.
He's been under questioning?
Yeah. Yeah. The look on his face is like, I've done this before. I don't want to do this.
I don't know.
Nobody told me I was signing up for this.
All right. All right. So... now, I've been to Tribes a number of times. Tribes is amazing. How many beers do you have on tap there, on handle?
On tap at the Tinley Park location, I believe we have 40 handles.
Nice.
Now, at our brewery in Mokena, that's why I was a little hesitant.
Right. You don't have to explain yourself. We can do that later on a redirect.
We're here for Tinley. Let's leave Mokena out of it now.
Somebody's dropping Mokena out of you there, Mayor. I don't know about that.
But this is where the lawyer reaches over and goes, all right, don't say Mokena again. All right,
Tinley.
So Tribes Beer, Tribes Ale House has 40 on, and that's all stuff you guys do, right?
No, so there we have, I believe it's between like 5 and 10, depending on time of year and stuff, of our Tribes beers, but then the rest are all guests. So that 10 years ago, we started as a craft beer bar. So kind of before it was all, as popular as it is today. But obviously now, a few years ago, 5 years ago, we started brewing our own.
It's a great, great facility.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you.
So congratulations on that. All right, Tribes Ale House.
And this is the South Cider? Is that what this one's called, Matt?
Yes, sir.
And what is the South Cider? What do we know about that?
It's a light American lager.
Okay.
So you were asking me, right?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Yes. You're the one under questioning, sir.
Yeah. So it's, as it says on the side of the can here, clean and fresh.
It
so
is. It's the kind of beer you can enjoy a White Sox victory over the Cubs with,
lager. That's a fighting statement.
Go. This does have a reminiscent sort of, like a lot of the beers that we grew up with. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of that the American beers that the American lagers that we grew up with. So
back in the day when you needed an actual opener on the can, like open each side of it, right?
Yeah.
The metal strip down the side.
Exactly.
The pull tabs?
Before the pull tabs,
puncture the can.
Yeah.
This is a little different sort of situation.
It's great.
And that's why Grandpa always had one of those things on his key ring that was on his belt.
Church key, right?
Yeah, church key, right. And he was able to do that. And then you'd sit on it funny. Like I tried to do that when I was a kid, and you sit on it, and the next thing you know, you're getting poked. All right. Tribes Ale House is at 9501 171st Street.
Yes, sir.
You may step down from the stand.
Thank you.
All right.
No further questions.
Very good. I like
this. Boy, this guy couldn't get out of here fast enough.
He's like, all right, good.
He's a man of few words, but a great beer. That's all I'm at.
Right, there he goes. Okay. All right.
Listen, we went 4 for 4 with the beers. That's
really,
all that really
excellent
matters.
Beers. Thank you for sharing them. They're
we
really
are
great.
Going to come back and talk to the mayor of Tinley Park here in just a moment. And then Live Music Friday featuring Jacob Dylan, who was just in our studio, recorded 3 songs for us. We're going to play them in the 6 o'clock hour. You're not going to believe this when you hear it. It is spectacular. So stay tuned for that. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Until you picked your car up there. You should know where it's at.
Oh, many a time. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, I was just reading something else when I was doing that. All right. Mayor Vandenberger is here from Tinley Park. We tried all the beers at Tinley Park, the Ale Trail, as they're calling it.
Yeah.
Right? All right.
You can go from place to place.
And this is an interesting initiative, right, for you guys. You're really trying to push an entertainment experience in Tinley Park.
Destinational, right?
Right.
So Tinley Park is interesting because we have the 5 breweries now. We were talking about it before the show, and there's not really another suburb that has that situation. So we feel that we have a leg up, give people an opportunity to come to Tinley Park besides something like music, enjoy the entertainment and destinational experience of a brewery.
So. Isn't it amazing, too? And there's so much going on down there, right? Because you've got other great surrounding communities around you, whether it's Orland or Frankfurt or places like that, that really you can draw from, right? And you can make this the the centerpiece. So congratulations.
Thank you. It really is great stuff.
And the Tinley Park Convention Center.
We do.
Yes. Which I would like to proudly say I was the first act ever to play in that convention center.
Is that right?
Yep. Back in 1998.
Late 90s. Yeah. We would love to have you back.
Yes. I've got that thing. But yes, I'll be right back there. Yes.
we'll bring the beer.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
well,
then
I'm there.
Reconsider.
Jake, thank you so much. Jake Vandenberg, Mayor of Tinley Park, and to everybody who was here.
Yes, thank you all.
All the breweries, Banging Gavel, Hailstorm, Sound Growler Brewing Company, and Tribes Ale House. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate
it. Great stuff.
TinleyPark.com is the website. Is that correct?
.org.
.org?
Yep.
.gov? Which one? .gov is where you fix your tickets. Wait, what happens? Hold on. He said .com.
It's .org.
.org. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. See, I'm the one asking the questions, and I'm the one screwing the whole thing up. I got the wrong address on my primary sponsor for the last 5 years, right? I'm on the wrong street. Because I don't know what's going on.
We've been on the wrong street all day, haven't we?
Yes, we really have. But we're going to get back on the right street with Jacob Dylan and Jade, who were just playing in Studio G next door to us. We're going to play that music for you coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Do not move. Jacob Dylan from the Wallflowers, and Jacob Dylan was in studio with us earlier today. He's got a new documentary out that Richard Roper reviewed, 3.5 stars.
Echo in the Canyon.
And it is a great, it is really, I've had the pleasure of seeing it. What he's doing is they're taking a look at the rock and roll scene in Laurel Canyon, which is a neighborhood in Los Angeles, just off Sunset Boulevard, in Hollywood, actually.
Yeah.
It's between Hollywood and Los Angeles.
Up in the hills.
And you go off Sunset Boulevard, the hill sort of emerges there to the north, and you climb up through there. And as they explain in the movie, it's like a forest preserve out there.
Amazing,
right? Yeah. It's like these little houses nestled into these hills, and there's wildlife, and there's there's cougars, and there's also those cats, those big cats. And so
the first cougars I think came from Laurel Canyon, right?
That's really true.
All the leaves are brown.
So they have this, and it became an artist commune in Laurel Canyon.
Really did, yeah.
In the 1960s, and it was started by some of the folk artists. Pete Seeger and people like that.
Right. Yeah.
But then the guys like Crosby, Stills, Nash, which was initially the Birds.
Roger McGuinn of the Birds and Buffalo Springfield, Mamas and Papas, right? Beach Boys, obviously the Beach Boys.
And then the Beach Boys. And they would all get together and they would all do drugs. And then write music with each other, or they'd show up at some guy's house and go, I can't come up with the right lyric for this, or the right bridge for this. And that had been going on for years and years and years after them, right? But these are the guys who started it, because then that you know, led to Jackson Browne and the Eagles and all those guys who all lived together. Because everybody wanted to live in this commune kind of world. And so they've done this documentary about that part of rock and roll and why that's such an important part of rock and roll history. Part of it is that they're going back and playing Jacob Dylan, along with other artists you mentioned, Beck and Jade.
Fiona
and a bunch
Apple,
of
them, yeah.
Have done a number
of Jones.
Their own album.
Yes.
And they came in here and did these songs that were so hit, such big hits. In 1965, Go Where You Want to Go, which was the Mamas and the Papas, which was literally written by John Phillips about Michelle, right?
Yes.
His wife.
Yes.
Because she was running away from him and sleeping with other members
Free
of the band.
Love. She's in the movie talking about it now, 50 years later. She's like, hey. And she still has that great kind of hippie chick beauty and kind of openness. That's one of the great moments in the movie where they play Go Where You Want to Go for Michelle Phillips with Jacob Dylan and Jade trading the vocals.
So here is the Studio G version of this. They recorded this.
Wow.
2 hours ago, right here in the WGN studios, here is Go Where You Want to Go.
One, two. You gotta go where you want to go, do what you want to do, with whoever you want to do it with. What you wanna do with whoever you wanna do with.
You don't understand that a girl like me can love just one man. 3,000 miles, that's how far you go.
Jacob Dylan and Jade from just 2 hours ago in our studios right here at WGN doing Where You Want to Go, which was written by the Mamas and the Papas, written by John Phillips about his wife who was cheating on him, and made into a bigger hit by the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah.
2 years later.
Huge hit. I mean, both of them were number one. Actually, both versions, which is pretty incredible.
You know, Marilyn McCoo singing that. And it is a... It is amazing to hear these guys. They've taken that song, and again, for this documentary that they've done, Echo in the Canyon, it's they want to reintroduce a whole new audience to what that was all about, this kind of folk rock thing, which that those were the first folk rock songs of all times. Right
yeah,
there.
Absolutely. It was kind of unheard of. In fact, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds talks about when he first started doing that in New York City, people were like, what are you doing? And then it, you know, became so big. And of course, famously, Bob Dylan, they did some of his songs like, you know, Mr. Tambourine Man, the Byrds did. And then Dylan famously then went electric, which scandalized the folk community the first time he plugged in, right?
Jacob Dylan sat in studio with us and explained in the 3 o'clock hour that's up for podcast, explained why they were choosing the songs they chose.
We chose songs that we could help tell the story of the film with. And then, you know, the people who are of my generation that we reached out to sing, there were people that we knew, and they all have a connection to Southern California and Los Angeles and even Laurel Canyon. People like Cat Power and Regina Spektor and Beck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody, my feeling is everybody enjoys being a part of something if it's positive and the songs are good. It's not, you know, people like to be there.
All right, so now... they did Dedicated to the One I Love. Now, people know that song, right? Because that was done by the Shirelles, the Mamas and the Papas. Wait till you hear what it sounded like in Studio G.
While I'm far away from you, my baby, just before dawn. To the one I love.
This is dedicated
to the one I love.
This is dedicated
to the one I love.
This is dedicated
to the one I love.
All right, Jacob Dylan was in studio with us. He's got a project that is really cool about the history of rock and roll. It's a documentary that you must see. Richard Roper gave it 3.5 stars, did he not?
I did.
Yes, you did.
I did. One of the best documentaries of any kind this year. But, you know, for a certain group of fans, tons, millions, they love this music. But if you don't know this music, if you watch this, I think you'll immediately... The pop hooks and the tunes are so infectious, like one hit after another. It's great hearing the stories behind the hits as well.
Echo in the Canyon is what it's called. And you do, if you love the music of the Beach Boys and the Byrds and that sort of sound, or like for me, I'm much more of a Jackson Browne, Eagles, that generation, because that was the next generation, next wave up from that. But that came from these guys, Richie. So it was an amazing story to see this.
Yeah.
So what Jacob Dylan has done, he's got an all-star cast of other singers and musicians. Beck is on this record. They've done an accompanying soundtrack for
exactly,
this.
Yeah.
They did their own concert. He's reworked all these songs that were written from back in that moment. And then they came here to WGN this afternoon and then re-recorded three of these just for us.
Custom cuts with the full band.
Yes.
Here. Some great session musicians as well. And wonderful vocals, and Jacob Dylan, of course, guitar and lead vocals. But yeah, the whole crew was here. It was awesome.
So here is, from the band Love, song Love.
You too.